right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the service. We're going to start our time with prayer, and specifically, this is a breaking of bread Sunday, so many of us are meeting afterwards for our breaking of bread times. And so there are two things. We're going to have a silent moment of prayer personally in two areas. One is confession. So if there's something that you feel like the Lord's put on your heart to maybe talk to him about, now's the time to do that. But also remembering what he did for us on the cross. So not only confessing, but remembering that he's paid for our sins, all of them, past, present, and future. So let's bow our heads in prayer, and I'll open, and then we'll just pray quietly to yourself. So, Lord, thank you for this time, and just ask that we lift up our time, our sins to you, Lord, which are many, but you've paid for them all. I just thank you for that. Help us to remember in this time of silence. Thank you again, Lord, for your salvation. Thank you again for that you went to the cross for us, that your blood was spilt for us, and we are cleansed by it. Thank you so much for that. And we do remember it this morning. Remember what that you are the center of what we, of our faith and our ministry and everything we do. We do again praise you this morning as we worship you today. Amen.
Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. Just a few announcements for you today. You know, I've heard a rumor that spring is here. And yesterday it was 36 degrees at the warmest of the day, and so I'm trying to have faith that that is really true. So one of the things we're doing, I wanted to highlight, is a few of the upcoming events in Awana in our high school ministry. Let's see. Awana is happening on every Wednesday for 4 or 5 more weeks, and that'll wrap up just before the end of the school year. So it's been an exciting year for us in that, you know, when we started our Awana program, it was a lot of kids who are our children who are in our Awana program, and now we have a lot of children in our Awana program who don't go to church, and not sure if their families really attend a church at all. So it's their only exposure to, or their first exposure to, principles and verses in the truth about who God is. So we wanted to take a minute and pray that together, as we focus on prayer, that God would use those relationships with the children and their families, that they would learn and come closer to the Lord. So if we could do that, maybe bow your heads and just pray with me. God, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the families and all the children who are coming, who we don't really know that well. I just thank you for the chance to teach your word. Thank you for all the people who come every week, for almost 6 or 7 months now. And I pray that we would finish well, and I pray for stronger connections, and the children will be drawn to you. I pray for their parents. I pray for a chance to speak about you and a chance that they would come to accept you as their personal Lord and Savior. I pray for an understanding for people to see their need for you. Amen. Thank you for praying together. One of the things we're doing in our high school ministry, too, is trying to teach convictions about different aspects of the Christian life. If you look in here, we're talking about on the 14th, relationships and loving others, caring for others, and how to do that. So a great thing for high school students. So you can be praying for those throughout the week. That is all the announcements. Oh, the reminder, today is Breaking of Bread Day. So if you're a part of a Breaking of Bread group, speak with your leader and when and where. If you're not sure or where to go, talk with Mike or Greg. They both have groups that are meeting today. So We're going to have our ushers come forward and take our offering. If the icons will help with that, thank you.
Okay. All right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our... Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Thank you. Thank you. We're kicking off a new series today. Thank you, music team, for leading us in worship this morning. We're kicking off a new series, which is called Getting Off the Path. So we just, for the last few weeks, have been talking about following Jesus or following in his footsteps. And by examining his various character attributes, how to emulate those attributes, and so on. But what happens when we, what are some ways that we might not, or get off the path, as it were, stop following him, or we think we're following him, but we're really not. And this is this series is based loosely on this book, Mistakes Leaders Make, and Dean and Mike and I have read this book, or I've read the book fully, and so this series is kind of loosely based on that. It mostly is going to apply to ministry in general. That's what its focus is. But, and that's when I talk about things, I'll probably talk about ministry a lot, but you can apply it to anywhere or anything in your life in general, and that's why we're gonna review it. So though it's written for leaders, we thought it applies to anyone. And our series verse today is going to be Psalm 139. And this is David talking. He says, "O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thoughts from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before. You laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain it." So David, when he wrote this, or when he sang it, said being a king was a leader. He had better be if he's going to lead Israel. He was a great warrior, it says, and he led men into many battles. Yet he said, "God, you know everything anyway." David is saying, "I open myself up to you, Lord," he being the king that did that. And so in this, the next phrase, he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there is any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." The same cry to God from David, I am challenging you, all of us today, to make to God throughout this series, and always to put our heart before God. To not just put our thoughts, but emotions, our anxious thoughts, our fears, our wants, our desires, our dreams, our loves, our hates, etc., and all before the Lord, and let him pick it apart. And I do warn you, though, it will be difficult if you do this. But it'll be so much better than what you're doing now. Hiding it from him in fear is not going to work. He built us, and he's the master designer and physician. Let him see if there are ways we are off the path that is causing us hurt, or hurt to others, maybe, that we might not be aware of. Maybe we're saying or doing something that's hurting other people, and we just don't know what's happening. Let him see if there are ways that we're off, not just to be more spiritual, but that is not what David is asking for. He asks, see if there's any hurtful way within me. Open your heart right now, and let's ask the Lord to lead us in the everlasting way. Lord, we just lift up this topic to you, Lord Jesus, which is putting ministry over you, or putting something else over you. Lord, we ask that you show us, is there something that we're doing that with? Is there some area in our life that we're doing with that with? Probably there is. And just ask that you'd show us that today, and you would guide us. Help us to be able to own it, confess it, repent, and get some help, Lord. That's what we need. We just ask that you would do that today in your name. Amen. So like I said, this series is based on this book. I don't think I held it up before, but it's called Mistakes Leaders Make, and they put a line right through the middle, and then they put a line on the back. But this is by David Kraft, and I thought it was very good. It goes through a real church and goes through the whole staff and picks it apart and said, here's your problems. And one of the biggest problems was the leader. His name was Dave in the book. And he is a very, 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 very successful preacher and leader and so on. But there was one issue that he had that was just killing the church. And the first and biggest way we can get off the path is to make something else central in our life without us knowing it. Now, why would that happen? Well, according to John Calvin, man's nature, this is the topics we're going through, man's nature, so to speak, is a perpetual factory of idols. There's a problem that God identifies. This is a problem that God identifies in day one with Israel. Who knows what the first commandment is? Who knows what the first commandment of the Ten Commandments is? No other gods before me. Very good. This is the very first item. This is what he says. This is in Exodus 20. Then God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. So remember, he's putting on the tablets the Ten Commandments. Now, I heard a joke this week. It said it was the first time that a tablet, we ever uploaded a tablet from the cloud. And, yeah, exactly. This is why I'm a pastor. Because of jokes like this. It says, this first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven or above or on the earth beneath or on the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children on the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. So who knows which of the Ten Commandments does Israel break first? The first one, right? So the first one, Moses is gone, and before the tablet is completed uploading, he says, I know, Moses is gone, let's make a golden calf. I'm just wondering how that came to their mind, but let's make a golden calf and an idol to worship, because we have nothing else to do out here. So what does God get all mad at the nation of Israel about throughout the Old Testament about this? And you know what happens after that is idol worship. This is what's going all around them, and that's what they end up continually get kind of pulled into. And I think we can get pulled into this as well. And so he compares this. God often throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament compares this idol worship with adultery. And it's all over the place in the imagery. So here's two verses in Jeremiah, one in Ezekiel. It's all that she saw that for all the adulteries of the faithless one, Israel, calling Israel like a she, I had sent her away with a decree of divorce, yet her treacherous sister Judah did not fear, but she too went and played the whore. Wow, this is his people he's talking about. This is my chosen people. He's using this kind of language. So, and in Ezekiel, I would judge you as a woman who commit adultery and shed blood are judged, and bring upon you the blood of wrath and jealousy. So why do I bring up all this? So this imagery of a bride to a groom and God's response as a jealous husband is all over the place. It's also in the New Testament and carries itself in that relationship of God to his church. It calls it a great mystery. You know, we're going to have a wedding here in a couple months, and that we're going to talk about that is in Ephesians 5. It's that mystery. It says, as Christ, you shall love your wife as Christ loved the church. So it calls the church his bride, and in Revelations, there's all of this imagery of this marriage and so on. And it's the same imagery we see in the Old Testament between Israel and his people and God. And this in and of itself is a study, and I don't want to get off too much of it. So we might think,
Ah, stupid Israel, they are so stupid. They don't know anything, right? We might think, that they, I would never do that now that we are in an advanced world. I have never made a golden calf or sacrificed to idols. I have never done that. But, okay, so you haven't done that. But we see several verses about this kind of worship in the New Testament. And it's kind of changed. It's not talking about those kinds of things, but it's talking about different things. And here's the New Testament. So now that you're more advanced people, you're doing more advanced things. So in Colossians 3:5 it says, "But put to death therefore what is earthly to you, sexual immorality." Look at the list. Impurity, passion, evil, desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So now it's comparing idolatry with bad thinking, with other types of things, passion, impurity, sexual immorality, covetousness, right? Now it's not just looking at some solid object. Now it's all these other things. Now it's what's happening inside. Little children, keep yourself from idols. In 1 John, it's 1 Corinthians again. Excuse me, in 1 Corinthians, "Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man." This is God saying, I've been dealing with this from day one. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Wait, what? We weren't talking about idolatry. Why are you talking about that now? What is common to man? For him to take his eyes off of God and put it on something else. So we see these verses on idolatry in the New Testament. Specifically, its similar statement to John Calvin's is that it's common to man. It's an idol factory. So in many countries, there is idol worship still going on. It's very prevalent, such as in India and in Nepal. But what does, in the modern country of the United States, what does a modern idol look like? So, well, Jesus said, don't look outside, look inside. Look at your heart. He says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What is on your heart? David says, examine my heart, Lord. Well, what's on your heart? What do you really think about all the time, even as I'm talking up here? Probably thinking, oh, can it be done? Maybe sports, clothing, relationships, food, leisure time. But I think there's still one greater one still that we are in this country very guilty of. What do you think is the most common idol of all for a person to put on? What do you guys think? Television? Ourselves. I think I agree with that. Someone said it. John, you said it too. Others? Someone back there, he said. Money? Anything related to ourselves. In this country, the most modern countries, the self or man is the head, or humanity. Man is to be worshipped. Look at our accomplishments. Our great technology, the iPhone. Our great technology, the computer, how it serves us. We're so awesome. It's the main message of humanism. I think for me, it has always been approval or praise. It's like being worshipped, really. You know, ministry is a great place to get that. Christianity and Americana is a great place for getting praise in a spiritual sense. And it could be over church size, it could be ministry size, it could be success, it could be building size, it could be speaking ability, it could be musical talent. Why do we do ministry? Because the Lord commands, or because of what I can receive out of it. Did you see what I asked? So do we do ministry because the Lord commands it, or is because of what I can receive out of it? So am I on stage to give or to receive? Who is more vulnerable, the listener or the speaker, to the area of pride? Mike Eichen used to use the phrase, and he might still,
ministry mistress, the mistress of ministry. It's again that why I like that is the adultery image, is that I will admit at the beginning, I will admit for this myself, I let the Lord examine my heart early on, and the desire for success and praise was very strong, and that's what drove me. But it looked really good because it looks just like ministry. And that's what maybe we're doing. In David Kraft's book, he shares a story. He says, I'm doing all this stuff. He was a younger man. He's doing all this stuff. And one of his guys comes and says, hey, Dave, I really need to talk to you. Oh, that's the, you know, oh, no. You know, whenever someone says, I really need to talk to you, oh, no, I'm in trouble. So he takes them aside. And in their ministry, one of the things was really, do you have someone that you're discipling? Do you have someone that you're raising up? And he pulled them aside and he says, he drew a circle and put Jesus in the middle. And he says, who's at the center of the circle? And he said, well, Jesus is. He says, is that who's at the center of your circle? And he said, Dave said, yes. And he said, no, it's not. And he crossed out Jesus and put men. And he says, men is at the center of your circle. Men, your praise from men. They are more important than Jesus right now. So he really had to step back and really look at that. Is ministry a mistress, or is it something else, a mistress, or maybe a secret? And this is different than, like, a couple weeks ago we talked about putting Jesus on the throne. It's not an issue of Jesus on the throne. That's not what we're talking about here. It's who's at the center, who is at the center, who is at the center of why you're doing it. Is what I'm doing it for some other reason? Is what, yes, I serve you, King, but on the side I'm really serving the jester, or I'm doing something else, or behind the scenes something else is happening. Yes, you're on the throne, but secretly something else is going on that we can't even see. Who is really in our hearts, Jesus or something else? It is not necessarily, on the throne, but in a quiet corner or closet of our heart. We pull out when no one else is around. Praise, dreams of fame, fortune, maybe love, time, family, travel, secret desires, whatever it might be. And none of those things by themselves are wrong. But where are they? Are they in the closet, secretly being pulled out? The truth is, we should not be shocked at all that we have these areas that need being cleaned up. We agree that, hey, I'm not perfect. I notice that word now, the old word is now awesome. Awesome is out. The word I hear a lot now is perfect. And mostly from, like, service organizations. That's perfect. You know, I signed the rental car agreement. Perfect. It's like, yeah, I guess. You know, perfect. You know, what is perfect? And when I think of perfection, I think Lord Jesus Christ. He's perfect. But I signed this agreement. That's perfect, too. Or we made this document. That's perfect. And everything's perfect. So it's another word that's going to be worn out in a couple years. Stuff we have put in front of Jesus, but called it by another name, or even used a verse to say it's ministry, or to spiritualize something that really is for us. Indeed, the book calls ministry the king of idols because it is so well hidden. Ministry is done in obedience to Jesus and must be done for his glory, not ours, or for our idols, such as our own praise. I think this is a horrible temptation. I think this really is for large Christian organizations that have lots of success or resources, etc. We've seen leaders that were very successful get humbled when it is clear that they've been caught in some sin. We see that all over. Then how, and we say, how the mighty have fallen. Look at those. Ha, ha, ha. Look at them. But really, reason, he who thinks he stands, take heed, lest he fall. We should always be looking, oh, wow, that could happen to me. We're always one step away. We're always one step away from disaster. Always one step away. Ministry or anything else is not my life. Ministry, being a pastor, whatever we're doing, working with young people, working with people is not my life. Jesus is my life. I do that because Jesus is my life, not to be my life. Does that make sense? So, Greg, I think I might have a few things to clean up. Maybe I should have God search me and know me and see if there's any hurtful way within me and to see if it's true. So then what? What do we do? How do we kind of address that? The first thing, as we talk about that, I would say is to press the button. There we go. To own it. So you know what you might be thinking. I hope that maybe there's something you've identified within yourself, or you're thinking about it, or you already came to mind. So how do we own it? What's the first thing that we might do? What be step one? So in this verse says, so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Step one is to identify that you have a problem. And usually the Lord helps us identify our issues, particularly if we ask for it. So, Lord, see if there's anything hurtful way within me. Have you guys ever had the Lord show you that you have a hurtful way within you? I have. Yes, it's unpleasant. You ask for it. Oh, crud. For me, I don't know when this specifically was shown some time ago, but when I saw the issue of praise and said, Lord, this is not just a problem. This is my problem. And that's what I mean by own it. This is not because someone else has issues. And I want to separate the issue of owning it is we often, when we maybe see that there's a problem in our lives, our first inclination is to blame others. Someone else caused this. If only they would change. If only God would, even God, if only God, if God understood my problems, you know, if he came down here and see how hard it was to be human, oh yeah, he did that. We don't want to blame circumstances. Sometimes I blame circumstances. Only I didn't have all this work to do. If only there wasn't this job we had to do, I could then be a better leader or a better minister. If only we had better families that weren't constantly asking for things or had something else, then everything would be right and I would be a different person. But the only way you'll be able to confront this and really show where it is to between you and the Lord. That's really at the heart of it. That's really the issue, is you own it. It's yours and yours alone. If ministry or whatever it is your mistress, then take him, her, it by the hand in your mind. If it's a person, that would be interesting. But I'll let you by the hand in your mind and walk you both to Jesus. And you say, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Here it is. Blech. You know. And to the foot of the cross. Lord, I love praise more than you. I'm doing this for me. I have worshipped it, or I've worshipped me instead of you, or I've loved worship more than I love you. And that's killing me. And it's killing me. So that would be the first step. And we'll get to practice this at the end, what owning it and confessing it and repenting it means. All right, next thing. So you own it. You say, yes, that's definitely me. So let's confess it. That we did that this morning. We can maybe confess something to the Lord. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, Lord, here it is. I love praise, or loved what ministry or whatever it is more than you. I love my iPhone more than you. I love relaxation time more than you. This is what I've worshipped instead of you. I think we feel we need to be perfect before God and others all the time, or we will be exposed for what's true as not very spiritual, or as not very mature,
or is not as cool. We don't like that. We don't want to look uncool or unspiritual or unmature. The truth is, though, our spirituality does not come from ourselves. It's the way we act does not come from us. It comes from God. That's where it came from. That's where existence comes from. So nothing can separate us from that. It says neither height or breadth or depth can separate us from the love of God and or our existence. Excuse me. Nothing can separate us from that. But we try anyway under our own effort, and it just hurts us. I remember even as I was growing up and, you know, became a Christian when I was 19 in Michigan State University. And one of the things that was really interesting is, so everyone is about under 30. Everyone's under 30, so we're all pretty nuts, you know, pretty immature, I would say. You know, you had pastors that were fairly young, and now they're old. And we're going to reach the world for Christ. We're going to do all these great things, and we're still doing that. And those were good things. But I think underlying it all was this idea is I've got to be a spiritually perfect. I've got to be the best. I've got to show others how good I am and how smart I am and how much of the Bible I know and how spiritual I can be and how holy I am if I'm going to be cool. And that is a trap. That is an absolute trap. So, after we own it, we confess it. And we just say, Lord, I confess it. I think nothing can separate us. So we confess this before the Lord. Lord, search me. Then once discovered, own it. Then confess it. Then, you know, we own it. We take it before the Lord. Lord, here it is. I confess this. This is something I need cleaned up. Whatever it is. And it could be anything. But this is what I need. So own it. Confess it. And then what? Then what do we do? Well, this is a little bit of the harder part. We got to stop doing the bad thing. So why do we need to repent? Are we sure that that's the next step? Well, here's an example in Revelation. This is Jesus talking to the church in Ephesus specifically about this issue. Okay? This very issue we're talking about. He said to the angel of the church in Ephesus, this is in Revelation 2, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven gold lampstands, I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. Let's stop there for a second. You are doing a great job, church. You're doing a good job. You're doing good. You're really working hard. Busy, 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 right? You're doing a great job at Awana. You're doing a great job with the team group. You're doing a great job at your service. You're doing a great job in all your ministries. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place unless you change, unless you repent. And so what is he talking about there? You forgot about me. You forgot about why you're doing this in the first place. You're trying to do it all on you're going gung-ho. Look at how awesome we are. Oh. But we forgot who we're serving. We forgot our first love. They forgot their first love. And I've done this. I've forgotten who I'm doing this for. Oh, yeah, Jesus. I remember that guy. Here Jesus actually talks to the church in Ephesus about this issue. You know, you guys have done a lot of good stuff, but we can't hide behind doing a lot of good stuff. Because when you do a lot of good stuff, it's easy to hide behind that so that you don't have to interact with the hard parts. If you keep doing stuff, you don't have to interact with people. You don't have to interact with Jesus. because you're doing ministry. Ministry, ministry, ministry. You're doing a great job, but we're forgetting who we're supposed to be with. Who the one we're supposed to have this relationship with. Because if we're doing it all for nothing, then we're doing it all for nothing. We're doing it for ourselves. This just brings me to mind the parable of where the Lord says, they says, did we not heal the sick? Did we not cast out demons? Did we not do all these other good things for you? And what does he say? I didn't know you. I didn't have a relationship with you. Jesus says, I know you're doing a lot of good stuff, but you forgot about me. This is the relationship, not a support. This is a ministry, is a relationship, not a support system for a dying religion. The Lord's solution is repent. Stop doing that, right? Because it's just really what everybody else is doing for a different reason. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, or the renewal of your mind, by testing you. You may discern what the will of God is. What is good, acceptable, and perfect. Change, really change. And that's what repent means, is to change. You might say, I don't know how to change. Oh, yeah, I get it. It's hard. It's ingrained, particularly as you get older. I was talking with Linda about this. It's like, I like things to be the same. You know, don't change anything. As I get older, we like things to be the same and predictable and not too many weird stuff in there. And I get it, but he'll help you, and others can help you. So we own it, confess it, repent, and then we ask for help. This might also be a hard thing, is to ask for help, because then we got to tell people. But ask for help. And the first person we can ask is the helper, right? That had forth the name, the helper. And John 14:26 says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So, remember, you've asked for this analysis from God. God, search me and try me and know my anxious thought. Okay. And the great physician has shown you what needs to be done. You ever go to the doctor and says, you need to stop eating donuts every day. You need to do some exercise that does not involve picking up food and... you need to do this, this, and this. You got to lower your blood pressure, you know, or whatever it is. There, you went to the physician. You got to pay him $40 or $50 anyway. So then he says, you got to own this problem. You got to admit it and change, right? Or else, you know, bad things will happen. So God, the great physician of your soul, has shown you what needs to be done. Now you can ask for help from the helper that lives inside you. This is a quote from Corrie Ten Boom that I liked. And she said, trying to do the Lord's work on your own strength is the most confusing, exhausting, and tedious of all work. And yeah, I totally agree with that. It is. But when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, then the ministry of Jesus just flows out of you. It is easy. And I've experienced that too. Here's an interesting statistic. I think it's still true. I heard it, and I found that it's still pretty much true. It varies slightly. But only one person in 30 that enter ministry make it all the way through, stay in ministry. One in 30 that enter ministry stay in ministry. And I think this is talking about staff or pastors or whoever they are. But if they enter ministry, stay in ministry. Why? Because they're trying to do it on their own. That's my opinion. Or they went in for a different reason. Or they forgot who they were serving. But there's help. There's help from the helper, and also there's help all around. There's help from the saints, from other fellow believers. Look around you. That's your help. Don't look too hard. But that's your help. John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. So if someone comes to me with a problem, in order to obey this verse, I need to help them. Right? I need to love them. If we're to obey this and someone comes to us, who needs help with an idol, we say, good luck with that, loser. No, we wouldn't say that. No, I know what I want to respond. I've been there myself. Let's work together on it. I've had idols myself and still have idols. That's why we have accountability groups and LTGs. I meet with Earl Hahn at every morning, or not every morning, every Sunday morning. I've been there every morning, and Earl's not there. No, every Sunday morning, and that's been helping. We keep each other accountable. It's like iron sharpens iron, and that's a safe place that we can bring these issues to. You know, we're a family, and to obey this verse, I know everyone here would be there to support everyone else, including me. A lot of times we have fear of rejection or fear of that, now they'll find out, you know. Nine times out of ten, we already know. So if you're going to be rejected, it would have already happened with this group. This is a strong family, again, ready to support every part of the working as a whole. And I'm proud to be a part of that. I think definitely obey this verse and the other verse here. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs like we do together this morning, with thankfulness in our hearts to God. So if the word is living and active, if we really believe that and we dwell in it, we need to live in it. We need to live it in our ministry such that we do not worship ministry. So those are the four things: own it, confess it, repent, and ask for help. So rather than just, now you've heard it, let's apply it. Let's do that together. We're going to close in prayer, and I'm going to give you a time. So remember, so it's like if there's something that's in your heart right now or in your mind or wherever it is, somewhere inside you, and that you know, oh yeah, you've hit the, I know what you're talking about, Greg, you know. You don't have to shout it out. But whatever that is that maybe you've put before in front of Jesus, let's maybe own that in your own heart. And I'll pray a little bit, and then I'll give you a moment of time to really just pray on your own. So let's do that. And then, Lord, thank you so much that you've searched me. You search me, and you know everything about me. You know my waking and my falling asleep, and when I sometimes can't get out of bed, you know, can't seem to go to sleep, or sometimes I can't get stressed out, or I'm anxious, or I'm worried, or I'm aggravated. Lord, you know all those things. And a lot of times, Lord, we love praise, and praise instead of your blessing. Praise instead of serving you. And confess that, Lord, that's a real problem. And I want to only want your praise. I want you to put me at the head of the table. I'll stay at the back, Lord. And I confess that and own it. And I'm going to change, Lord. I'm going to repent and ask for help. Lord, Holy Spirit, help me with that. And others, help me with that. And by your grace, Lord, in your name. And I'll just give you some time to pray on your own. Thank you, Lord, for the help that you've given us, and for also for the help we have in each other. And I ask that
you continue to bless us this service and bless our walk. Help us to repent from the items, the things that we brought before your throne, before your cross, Lord. And that you take it away and replace it with joy and what you have for us. Help us to continue to worship you in spirit and in truth. By your grace, we pray in your name. Amen. These are the items we went through. And just could write those down if you want. And we'll have the music team come up.